Thank you, Jesus. All right, he got me. All right. It's been a 4 weeks of real intensive out there, you know, in ministry. Amen. And it has been a successful story. You guys must have heard a few testimonies about Papua New Guinea. Yeah, oh, praise the name of Jesus. That was awesome. And thank God Taurus is here. Taurus is here today. I'm going to invite him to come and give us just a 5 minutes testimony. He has been an amazing, amazing thing that God has been doing in Australia. Straight from PNG, I went all the way down to Kalgoorlie, and Pastor Bill, Pastor Ben must have told you about it. God is doing something in this nation that this church is so much involved in. I'm saying it again. God is doing an amazing thing in this nation where this church is very much involved in. So, this is the deal. If that's what you've heard, what are you going to do about it? Hallelujah. That is a challenge I'm going to speak very shortly today. And it's all about, because I'm an evangelist, all I'm interested in is souls getting saved. Amen. I'm out there all the time interested in souls getting saved. I don't care how I do it, where I do it, when I do it. Souls must be saved for Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, sorry, Sunday school. Let's pray for the Sunday school, guys. Sorry. Father, we thank you for the Sunday school, that they stand up and leave, that they are going to be nurtured, they're going to be taught, they're going to be filled with your anointing as they go up. We pray that the same anointing that is here that will touch their hearts today. In Jesus' name, and everybody say, amen. Amen. Yes, yes, yes. We want our kids to be raised up and nurtured in the things of God. Amen. Yeah, you notice that I haven't got any notes. It's over there. I'm going to go to it very shortly. But I'll talk to you about what God has been doing in this nation. And this week that has just gone, it has been a success story for Living Light. I'm saying it again. It's a success story for Living Light, because Living Light is participating in something amazing up in the Cape. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. God is doing something that I'm going to preach a sermon today that you are going to get thorns in your chairs. That means to me that you're not going to sit in that chair very long. You're going to start going out and reaching out into the streets, touching the hearts of the people. Amen. Because the very reason heaven was emptied so that you and I can go out and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, this last week, we went to Olmapun. Olmapun, you know that there was a story last year that I never always change the seats on my aeroplane, you know, when I fly. I never always go online. But this particular time, I changed my seating right from the middle right to the back. But little did I know that God was doing something. I sat at the back, and lo and behold, this lady came and sat beside me and said, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "Yes, I am. I'm a pastor." He said, "No, no, no, no. Is your name a Christian? Because you look like a Christian guy I know. Surname means surname." He asked the wrong person. Praise the name of Jesus. See, with that particular conversation, I didn't know that she was a counselor in Olmapun. With that particular conversation, now church is going to go to Mapun. That's the reason why I was up there last week. We had a meeting with the counselors, and what we have been doing in the past 3 years, we have been praying, we have been going to God about, "Lord Jesus, you know, we want the Cape for Jesus Christ. But we want missionaries to be there with them." And one of the hardest things in a community is to get a house. there, because there are, I think there's lines of people that, you know, that that apply for homes, and we are right at the bottom of the rung. But thank God we serve a God that there is nothing impossible with Him. Amen. So last week we went to Old Mapoon, and then the late, there was excitement in these counselors. The council, as we said, there was excitement. We could feel the anointing, the power of God coming to this place. As we were talking to these counselors, they said, yes, yes, bring the church in this place. We don't care what church, but bring it. Amen. That is the reason why I said, you are very much involved in this, because there is going to be a church in Mapoon, Old Mapoon. And you and I are going to be very much involved in it, whether in your prayers, whether you go, or whether you give. It's all part of what this church is all about. You know, this church is a mission church. We are a mission church. You know, there's a saying that a church that is not mission-minded is a dead church. But I thank God that this church here is 80% mission. 80% mission. That means after today, hallelujah, each one of you that's sitting over here is going to become an evangelist. Hallelujah. Because I'm going to pray that that chair you're sitting on is not going to be a comfortable chair anymore. You know what the eagles do to their babies on the nest? What they do, they put sharp things on it so the babies won't be comfortable in the nest a long time. You know, you can be fed by the word of God and you can have a spiritual heart attack by just sitting there. You know what spiritual heart attack is? By looking across. Oh, that lady and her hairstyle. I don't think it suits this church. That's spiritual heart attack. You start to attack people on the side of you. Amen. But God is good. Okay, so that solves the problem with Old Mapoon. The very next day, another 3 hours drive to Arukun. And Arukun, you know that it's got United Church. It has been there for a long time, since I don't know how long it's been there. But it had come to a point that the church is there. People are worshiping the church than the owner of the church. So they have been promised a pastor for the past 12 years, and no pastor has arrived. So we walked in there last week. This is what they were. We don't care what. Just bring in a man of God. Amen. Do you know that that is a breakthrough? That is a breakthrough in the communities that we're going in. We've been praying for the past 3 years. Lord Jesus, open up the doors. Open up the doors. Now they're going to arrange for accommodation for us. Hallelujah. And that's exactly what we want. When we have a base in the community, you and I can go. You can go, Pastor, can I go for 1 month and be with those guys and just preach and just teach the gospel and just be with the people? Isn't that good? Why are you guys quiet? My goodness, it's good news. Praise the name of Jesus. Oh, I bring good news and you guys are... Hallelujah. God is good. God is doing an amazing thing. But I'm saying to you, please, hear my heart. Hear my heart. Each one of us have got a gift. Each one of us have a mouth. Each one of us have a voice. Each one of us, even before I start going into the spiritual gifts, I'm saying the physicality of what you have right now with what God has made. God made you in His image. Hallelujah. So how many of us are sitting here right now? Maybe about 200? By next week, because you are going to reach someone, by next week it'll be 400. Praise the Lord. Come on, guys. What's the problem? What's the problem here? Are you too scared to talk to somebody about the Jesus that died for you? Hallelujah. I'll tell you something. During the time that when Jesus said, go and wait. The anointing came on them. The Holy Spirit came on them. And the Bible says, after the Holy Spirit came on them, 3,000 people got saved. What was the message? We have Bibles today. It wasn't written then. They had the Old Testament, the only written thing that was in the temples. What was the message? Hallelujah. The message was the testimonies of what God had done in their lives. That was the message. Now, in Revelation 12, verse 11, it says like this, that the devil is defeated by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. Your testimony, you own that testimony. Nobody else has that testimony. You are the one that has it. That somebody out there needs to hear your testimony. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you starting to become an evangelist? You see, evangelist is just an office. If you read properly in Ephesians, it talks about this office. It's an office that is given to the church to look after the evangelists. Each one of us have that calling. If you say to me, you don't have a mouth, so you better start talking to someone. Praise the name of Jesus. This is my testimony. 30 years ago, I was in a bed that I was dying. Amen. And God healed me. While I'm on that token, can I have Brother Taurus? He'll come and testify. You guys haven't heard Taurus' testimony. Taurus went with us to Papua New Guinea. As you have seen, that Taurus has got metal legs. Most of his fingers are gone. But does it stop him from taking the gospel? Amen. This has to be a lesson for us able people here today. Go ahead, my brother.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. How was that? No, something I've learned when I went to New Guinea. When I first went up to share my testimony, I wrote something up, and when I went up there, everything just went from when I saw the. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me that very little space there. It says to rely on me more than what you write down. So I just started speaking, and even myself, I didn't know what I was saying until this day. So the thing that the Holy Spirit taught me is what I give you, you know, He expects us to share that. Okay, don't expect to write a big sermon or something like what the pastor's gifts are, but just give your testimony. That's why the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of the testimony, you defeat the enemy. I'm just going to share a little testimony about my time in hospital. I was in and out of church. So in 2014, New Year's, I was drinking for 2 weeks straight. Before the New Year's, and on the very New Year, I was sick. I thought it was hangover, and then I ended up in hospital. But not knowing that my body was all shut down and everything, I had a slight heart attack and got an infection, and my heart told my brain to tell every other part shut down because you are now dead. So my kidneys shut down, my lungs, everything shut down. And during that time I was in coma, I went into coma. I woke up 3 weeks in Townsville, 3 weeks later. So during the time of coma, I only had one dream. Okay, and the one dream was the enemy was attacking me. First I was in this like a restaurant area. The enemy, people with swords and everything come and try to lay me on the table and try to kill me. So I called upon the name of Jesus. I wasn't in church. I was still outside, but I knew the Lord. I grew up with the Lord. And I called upon the name of Jesus. Then it flicked me, and it took me down to this really dark place. And the only light source was down there was the glow from the red hot door beside me. So this is the story where the Lord took me right down to this really dark room with a red hot door. And all I could see with that little light, I could only see bunks, like bunks, bunks after bunks. And these big dark people just came out and grabbed a hold of me and put me down on my knees, and they chopped off my hands and my feet. So they chopped it off before. When I woke up, I saw my hands and legs, but I knew straight away I'm going to lose it. Because when they came out, they chopped my hand and leg. I called upon the name of Jesus one more time. I said, Jesus. And all of a sudden, this big, they threw me out. They threw me out of this dark room. And I saw these big rolling doors. People with white clothes came out, and I was naked. They threw a white sheet over me, and they carried me inside. And then I woke up. I was in Townsville Hospital. Straight away, I know, oh, man. Yeah, something happened during that time. When you read in Revelations 1, verse 18, Bible declares to us that, behold, I was alive. I was dead, but now I am alive forevermore. That's Jesus saying, he's speaking to John. And he said, behold, I have the keys to death and hell. See, this is not the vision. This is not the end times prophecy. He said after that, he said to John, write these things down. But now, I'm explaining that Jesus, now, he is holding the keys to death and hell. Yeah. Okay? So, Bible declares to us, whosoever call upon my name shall be saved in Jesus. And I thank God that I've called upon the name of Jesus. Mm. That was the right name to call upon, because he that is riding the white horse, he will never let you down. Amen.
Amen. Come on, a clap off, reboot. Every time I go on a crusade, Taurus is with us. Taurus is always there. Taurus always ministers. Amen. You don't have to reach where he had gone to for you to preach the gospel. Amen. So I'm going to challenge you today. I'm going to challenge you on the token that each one of us have a gift. We have a mouth. I always share about this, you know, when the Holy Spirit landed on the people at they were waiting, and it says the tongues of fire landed on them. There was none that was bigger than the other. Each one had the tongue of fire. There was none that landed on the disciples that were serving God for 3.5 years. None that landed on the disciples that just served God for one. Each one had a flame. Each one had an anointing from the Holy Spirit as he wills. You see, it doesn't have to be. You don't have to be experienced in the work of God. According to God, there is no experience, because each day he renews that day. Amen. Amen. So when we are operating on experience all the time, there is no Holy Spirit. Because he is the Lord of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So your tomorrow has already been there. So if he's already been there for you, then why do you lean on yesterday's blessings? Hallelujah. What I'm saying is this. Each one of us, that fire landed on them. But there was none that were bigger than the other. It was because of obedience. They obeyed Jesus Christ, and the anointing came on them. See, when they left the place, 3,000 people got saved. 3,000 people. I don't know. Peter spoke. Everybody spoke. Because everybody heard what was going on up at the upper room. You see. But there maybe were young people there. Youths like those young men that was dancing out there. What was their testimony? The Holy Spirit touched me. Man, I used to do this. No, I'm free. That's a testimony. Amen. Amen. Today we have the Word of God. It was compiled after when the disciples were doing the work in the book of Acts. Now we have the Word of God. But I pray that we keep it simple. That we keep it simple. What the cross did for you. Amen. Okay, I know that Pastor Ben had been talking to you about Joshua, and it's a transition. What is it? Joshua generation. From the time of Moses to the time of Joshua. The time of Moses, God spoke to him, God did everything, God was with him. But it came to the time of Joshua. Exactly the same things that God did for Moses, he said, I will do it for you, Joshua. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. But it came a time when Moses died, the whole of Israel was mourning for 30 days. They were in mourning. Hallelujah. If you look from the book of Deuteronomy to the you know, last chapter of Deuteronomy, coming into the first chapter of Joshua, it talks about his death. And then it talks about God talking to Joshua. Hallelujah. The generation that came with Moses, the Bible says they were, God even called them stiff-necked people. That's a harsh word to say to someone. But God was saying it to his people. Because they were brought out from slavery, from building a certain coder of bricks and blocks every day, even though they were not doing that anymore, they saw a pillar of cloud during the day, a pillar of fire at night, but yet they were still going against God. You know, for me today, even if I see an angel, what would it do to me? It would boost my faith towards another level. Wouldn't that to you? If there was a pillar of cloud here right now, God would appear here right now. What would it do to you? But with the Israeli people, as they were going from Egypt to the promised land, you see, when God spoke, the heavens and the earth came into existence. Now God was speaking here. He was saying to his people, come out, I will take you to the land I have promised you, which is the land that is flowing with milk and honey. That word, even if he speaks to me today, that's enough. I'll stick my faith on that and I'll carry on. Hallelujah. But with us today, we have this promise that God has given us. And that is life eternal through you receiving Jesus as your Savior. That is the promise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible said to Joshua in Joshua 3, verse 5. Oh, sorry, Joshua 1. He says like this in verse 2. He says like this. Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua 1 verse 2. Now therefore, arise. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you, Joshua, you rise up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, with the Israeli people that was alive in the time of Joshua, none of them have ever been to Egypt. None of them knew about Egypt, except two, Joshua and Caleb. Hallelujah. It came to a point that when their leader had passed on, God spoke to Joshua. Joshua, listen. Rise up, son. Get up. It's time to cross the Jordan. It's time that now you enter into the promise. Some of us maybe, this is our last river to get our promise today. You see, Egypt is now far away. The promise is closer now. Don't give up. Don't give up. But there's an amazing thing that I'm going to lean this into evangelism. There's an amazing thing that happened here. Even though God spoke to Joshua, he said, guys, rise up. Let's go. Let's cross. But there's something that he said in Joshua 3, he said like this in Joshua 3. He says, before you go, guys, we always speak about God's promises, but we forget about something. Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, because tomorrow God will do wonders among you. There is a key here. If you look at it the other way, if you're not going to sanctify yourself, God is not going to do any wonders. Sanctification means, this is what it means. Thank you for dictionary. It means set apart. It means to declare yourself holy or make yourself holy. Or consecrate or dedicate to a higher purpose. Or dedicate yourself to God. Or make yourself sacred. What would be the attitude of the Israeli people? Lord Jesus, I repent. I just punched that guy next door. I want to cross the Jordan. But I have to cleanse my heart from all the situations that I've gone through. I said something about that guy on the other tent. I stole from that other tent, Lord. It says, Joshua said to his people, sanctify yourselves. In other words, clean up. In other words, whatever sin you're delving with right now, get rid of it. Whatever situation you're going through with right now, if you're hating someone, forgive him. Hallelujah. The Bible says here to Joshua said to the Israeli people, to his people, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, God will do wonderful things, wondrous things. So the key is this, I got to sanctify myself first before I get my blessing, before I get my wonders from God. I got to do something first. See, we have a part to do. Jesus has done his part already. He emptied heaven. He gave his life. But what is your part? Your part is to receive him as your Savior and live a life according to the Word of God. That is your part. Hallelujah. But don't be like the stiff-necks. They came, they left, they were free, they were given manna, but yet their heads were still pointed towards Egypt. You know, God got so fed up with the stiff necks that he made them walk around for 40 years until every stiff neck was snuffed out. I pray that you don't become a stiff neck that will be snuffed out by God. Yeah, it's okay. I'll come to the altar. I'll come and repent because of this. Tomorrow you're going to do it again. Tomorrow you're going to do it again. You come and repent. Tomorrow you're going to do it again. Hallelujah. But there's an amazing thing after that. There were three tribes that was given, Moses gave before the crossing over. Before the crossing over, the Lord said to Moses gave three tribes, which is the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh, the place before the crossing of the Jordan. There's an amazing thing that I read here that speaks about, you see, the 12 nations of Israel, they were going into their portion, which is the land of milk and honey, but they still don't know which part was for who. For Gad, for whoever, they don't know. But God says to Joshua, be strong and of good courage, for to these people you shall divide their inheritance. Hallelujah. Then he says, like, and only be strong in verse 7, and be very courageous that you may observe to do according everything my word says. Hallelujah. So we were saying to Joshua, your wisdom to do that division is through me. Your wisdom to have courage is by living according to what I say to you to do. Amen. But Joshua said something to these people. He said like this to these people in Joshua 1, verse 12, and says like this, and to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest, and is giving you this land. Your wives and your little ones and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave to you on this side of the Jordan. But this is what God said to me. But you shall pass before your brethren armed. Listen to that. All your mighty men of valor, and help them. Until the Lord has given your brethren rest, and as he gave you, and they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them, then you shall return to your land. So this is what he said to these three tribes. He said like this, guys, even though Moses has given you this part to rest in, but we are going to cross. All your men are still going to come with us, and we are going to take every hindrances, every situations across where God has promised until each one of them has settled in. Hallelujah. You'll notice here that there is no discrimination. That the tribe of Gad would say, no, guys, God has given us this place. I'm resting right here. Thank you very much. Even the tribe of Manasseh said, no. But you listen to what they said. This is what they said. So they answered to Joshua, saying, all that you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you will send us, we will go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mark 16, verse 15, it says like this. What's the most famous scripture? Mark 16, 15. Go out into the world and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Joshua said to these three tribes, gear up, mount up, we are crossing together. We are going to take this land for your brothers. Listen. Living Light, mount up with AOG, mount up with ACC. We are going across. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This week, I think it's this weekend. There won't be any night service, is it? Next Sunday night. We're having a combined service. There's about 6 or 7 churches getting a combined Shangri-La. I pray that each one of us go and pack the place out. This has been a prayer for this church here, that we work together as one. Hallelujah. The other tribes, 9 of them couldn't do it. They needed the other 3 that was on the other side. They couldn't take it. Joshua said, mount up, gear up. Let's do this together. Let's do this together. One of the visions of this church is to take this city for Jesus. I'm planning in the next 2 years we will have one of the biggest crusades ever in the city of Cairns. Hallelujah. But it is starting to happen. The doors are starting to open in this city. Now they're inviting us. They invited me the last time to share with them. Now they're inviting me again. Let's do this together. Amen. I'm saying here, as as Joshua was mounting to go across, he needed those other 3. Amen. You'll notice that when we went to PNG, I invited 2 other pastors, which is not from Living Light. But as we were speaking in that place in Kilkira, was there any flag that says AOG? No. It says Jesus. Each one of us are operating on this, the Word of God. Each one of us that's sitting over here might have come from a different church. And we're all sitting here together, but we are doing this thing together. We're doing this thing together. We're going to take this city for Jesus Christ. Amen. Not only that, the conquering started to happen, God started to show Joshua a new way of battle. Hallelujah. You see, when he said a land of milk and honey, during their first meal across, the Bible says that the Lord stopped the manna. He fed them right to the point until they were fed. They fed themselves in the place where they went to, the land of milk and honey. You see, our destiny is eternal life. Our eternal life is determined by our walk in this place. Hallelujah. Amen. If you see someone struggling, pick him up. Let's go together. You see, the Israelites, the other 9 tribes, Joshua knew that they couldn't do it. He said, nah, to the other 3, come on, let's go, guys. Let's do this together. We are one big happy family. Let's do this and let's take the land of milk and honey together. Your destiny is eternal life. Keep on with the walk. If you are struggling, find someone who is strong. Please help me. I need to walk the way God wants me to walk. But I'm struggling with this kind of situation. Amen. Amen. They held hands together, and the Bible says there was 40,000 strong men. Woo! Hallelujah. We got a task to do. Each one of us. We got a task to do. And our task is to go out there and preach the gospel. Our task is to go out there and reach someone. Amen. You know that old lady that pushes the trolley and all of a sudden she can't push it? Go and push it for her. Lady, come, I'll push this for you. I'll even put it inside your car. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. But Jesus said to Joshua, God said to Joshua, Joshua, be courageous. Never let this word, never let this word, with your leadership, with your walk, never let this word come out from you. He says like this, meditate on it day and night. This is to show that there's something important about this book. I'd say that your life is dependent on when you read the Word of God. It gives you new insight. It gives you what God needs you to know. It gives you what God wants you to know at the point of time, wherever you are, wherever the point you would be. God wants you to meditate on the Word of God day and night. Amen? So we are going to hold hands together. We're going to cross this Jordan. And the Bible says as soon as those people that carried the ark, their legs touched the water receded to one side, and the other side went straight right into the ocean, and there was dry land. You see, this God here, there is nothing impossible with him. If he has promised you, he will do it. It'll come to pass. It's only time and stiff neck that always being our problem. That even though we are here, you know, some of us today, this might be just the last river for you to cross. Hallelujah. Hang on in there. Hang on in there. Take a hold. Don't let go of that rope. You know, Egypt is far away now. The land of milk and honey is right there. I like that man, Caleb. He said, man, 40 years ago I was here. Give me another 40 years. I'm 40 years old or older now, but mate, I'll climb this thing here. Hallelujah. That was us, you know, the old people. So you young people, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Why don't we stand? Why don't we stand, eh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Could I have the music team? Hallelujah. So what have we learned today? Hallelujah. That before our blessing, we've got to sanctify ourselves. Amen? Before we cross over, before we get into what God wants us to do, sanctify yourself. In other words, it's an inside look. Look in. Look inside and say, Lord, I've got this situation right now. You know, it's been hard for me to deal with or whatever, whatever, whatever. That mountain is nothing to God right now. The Bible says in Matthew 11, 20, come unto me, all you heavy laden burden, I will give you rest. Isn't that a promise of God? So why hang on to something that you can hand it away to God? Hand it over. Some of you might have been pained right from old. I was 8 years old when something was done to me. When I was 27 years old and God healed me from it. Let go. Give it to God. Give it to God. Give it to God today. You know, he wants to take you across. But, you know, there are sometimes those things that you've been trying, and sometimes you say, I come to church, God, I come and worship you. I feel good. Every time I get home, I feel bad again. Maybe there is an issue in there that needs to be dealt with. That maybe your wife can't even know about it. With the situation that happened to me, you know, 8 years old, you know, God had to deal with it. God had to heal me. He had to do it himself. But it's up to you whether you give it to him or you're going to take it away through that door again today. This is a time, this is an opportunity. Joshua said, God said to Joshua, rise up and get over the Jordan. What Jordan have you got today? What situation is really problemizing you? Is it financial? health. But the promise is the land of milk and honey is already there. I just need you to cross over it. Amen. Why don't we close our eyes? Close our eyes. Come on. Hallelujah. If you feel in your heart that God spoke to you today, that there is this Jordan you've been trying to cross, but it's been a, you know, the Bible says that at that time that when Joshua was crossing the Jordan, it was a time of harvest, it was a time of floods. Even though at that situation, the flood situation at that time, it didn't matter at all to God. To us, it would be a problem. Yes, 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 yes. It's flooded today. I'll cross when the water goes down a little bit. But I pray that you cross over, despite the fact the water is still high. Because who is doing it for you? God is doing it for you. Come to me, all you heavy laden and burdened, for I will give you rest. If he promises rest, he will give you rest. So if you have been coming and giving it to God and you still haven't rested, that means you've given half of it, maybe just none at all. Because the promise of it is this, you will receive the rest, the freedom, the deliverance. Amen. Just put your hand up if you feel that God has spoken to you and you need prayer. Come on, put your hand up. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for all those hands. Thank you, Jesus, for all those hands. Come on. Come on, God is going to deal with you in a very mighty way today. Because of your faith, because you have given. Lord, I've come to give it to you right now. God is going to do his bit. He's going to deliver you from it. Not only deliver you from it, but he's going to give you rest too. But not only rest, but then he will give you his yoke. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we sing this song, for that somebody that put his hand up, leave your chair and come up. We'll pray for you. Leave your chair and come up. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Today is a day of your salvation. Today is a day of your deliverance.